Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to church number 6 out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. This is the 2nd of 2 churches that do not have any negative, only good, only commendation, no condemnation. And so the church in Philadelphia was a very good church. But it was a church that needed to be told to keep the patient word, as you can see from verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. God is all powerful. God is able to do all things that requires power to do. And so, why do we need to struggle to keep his word? Because that's the meaning of the word patient. It is very, very persevering, very enduring. It is not momentarily. It has to be kept continuously, day in, day out, day in, day out, rain or shine, whatever the circumstances in life, we must keep the patient word. And that is the challenge that the church in Philadelphia needed to be told to do. That whatever they were experiencing in the church in Philadelphia, they must never, never stop keeping God's word. The word keep simply describes someone who would keep an eye on something that he considers as precious. And so you will be on guard over your own soul, your own life, your own mind, and to make sure that the word of God is protected and not suffer loss. Because there will be many who will try to take it away from you. And the people who can take it away from you the best, with the greatest potency, are people that you care for, the things that you like very much. You see, the things that you despise, the things that you have a very low opinion of, that you probably do not want, they will never, never be used by the evil one to tempt you, to seduce you, to stir within your heart and to awaken the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes. You have no desire for that. Why would he want to use something that you are completely against? And it will have no impact in your life. Like, I'm addicted to alcohol. So alcohol will not have any desire. I have no desire for alcohol. I see it. I have no taste for it. I've never tasted it. I mean, at least once in the army, someone handed me a glass of beer. I took a sip. I spat it out. It was bitter. It was repulsive, but it was too late. I suffered very bad reaction to that alcohol, even though it was a short little time in my lips, in my mouth. A moment I tasted it, I spat it out, but too late. 2 weeks. Got to see a doctor, non-stop itch in my whole front, my stomach area. From that point onwards, I realized that alcohol and I are not friends. And so will the devil use alcohol to tempt me? But to an alcoholic, it is deadly and dangerous. And so the Bible has already warned us that the longer you remain on earth as a Christian, bear in mind the importance of keeping, guarding, protecting the patient word in your life. That was the message that the Lord wanted the church in Philadelphia to take heed. So how did the Lord introduce himself to help them keep the patient word? So verse 7 and verse 8, the Lord revealed, because the Lord knows what can cause us to stop keeping the patient word and lose its value in our eyes and in our heart. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, all right, John, you write this and send it to them. These things saith he that is holy. That's number one. keeping the patient word will help us to be holy. It is a life that is lived in light of God's word. Right? That's what it is. Be ye holy as I am holy. Same command God gave to the national witness, God gave to the church witness. It has not changed. So be holy. When you live in sin, you are no longer holy in witness. If you are born again, you are still a holy child of God, which means you are still a saint, a holy one. But your fellowship with God will be jeopardized if you hold on to sin. And therefore, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you are no longer holy outside because of the sin, you will be vexed in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit will convict you and keep convicting you until you repent, so that you will be holy outside and holy inside. And that is what repentance will do. And that's how you know you are born again in Christ. You want to be holy, which means get rid of sin and know that you have been consecrated or set apart by God for His special spiritual purpose. That's what holiness is. And so the Lord says, I am holy. Should the church not be holy too? He that is true. So the Lord says, I am telling you the truth. And so one of the key elements of sin is we don't tell the truth. Our words, our mouth, that can jeopardize our holiness, isn't it? Careless words. Very often when a child of God commits a sin, you realize that it is seldom with our hands and with our feet. We know what are the places we should avoid. We know what are the things that we should and should not do with our hands. We are able to control that. And that's why the Bible did not say that if you can control your hands and your feet, you are a mature believer, a perfect man. But if you can control your tongue, you are a perfect man. Because most of the time, it's our words, our careless words. During a meeting, we raise our voices. We, out of a very emotional reaction, we say things we regret. So very often, the sins that we commit will be with our words. And that means truth and error. And so the Lord says, I'm holy. You must be holy. I'm a God who cannot lie. I will always tell you the truth. So must we. And so the Lord is going to tell the church the truth about their spiritual condition. He that hath the key of David. The key is basically a symbol where you are permitted to enter into any part of the city. And the key of David, the city of Jerusalem. Right? The holy city. That's his capital city. That's where his home was. And so the key of David, because it is addressing the Jews. I have the key. That means I have the right to be in this church, to enter and to tell you what to do, where you are wrong or where you are right, and what you should be and what you should not be. I have the authority. I have the key of David. And he that openeth, that is God, no one can shut. And whom God, or place God shut, no man can open. Now that is how Jesus Christ introduced himself to encourage them to keep the patient word, which is what you and I need as well. Because we are living in the last days. There are a lot of people who can shake us in our faith. I'm sure you know not everyone. How many I do not know, who are still around in this church when this church was born 19 years ago. How many of you came out of Calvary Jurong when this church was born? I still remember many years ago, 19 years ago. You're looking for a place as a new home for service and for worship. And I remember this new sanctuary was just completed. The timing was perfect. And so nobody was using this church, especially on Sunday afternoon. And so Dr. Toh, welcome your leaders. If you want to take this sanctuary as your new place of worship, you are most welcome. How many of that group of people who were there for the first worship still remain? Now, minus those whom the Lord has called them to glory. But it includes definitely those who have allowed the world to lure them and allow the world to succeed in luring them. And they're no longer around. They are found somewhere else. What happened to them? They persevered holding on, keeping the patient word while they were in Jurong fighting, earnestly contending for the faith. But once the contending for the faith ended, and now they are in this new witness, new premises, why did they not hold on? Why did they not keep on keeping the patient word? What happened? Something happened, someone happened, whatever it was powerful enough for them to turn their back on Christ, turn their back on the word of God, and they stopped keeping. Their patience lasted for a moment, but it did not last that long of a moment, did it? Because they're no longer around for whatever reason. And if it is carnal, it is extremely serious. And so the Lord says, this is how I want you to remember me as you think on keeping the patient word. My sovereignty, in other words, right? If I open a door, no man can shut. If I shut a door, no man can open. Bear that in mind. Because that will include where you serve and how you serve. Where you witness and how you witness. Because you're going to face difficult people and difficult circumstances that will literally stretch your patience to a very, very thin line. Almost to the point of breaking. But it will not break. That's how you must remember the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will be very patient in keeping the word of God. Know whose word that you are keeping. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and that is your church witness. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. So they were very, very weak and tired. Little strength, probably the congregation was not that very large. And the financial position also not very well off. And hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So far the Lord evaluated the church in Philadelphia. It was good. There were very few perhaps, because if the church was small, that's why they didn't have little strength. Financially also not so good. Small congregation. And if you are a Jew in those days, you will be persecuted. The Sanhedrin Council will come after you. And you're going to lose your property, your bank account, your jobs. And therefore, churches that were comprised of primarily Jews would be very poor. That was why in the time of the Apostle Paul in the 1960s. Sorry, in the 60s. I beg your pardon, in the 60s. Paul had to ask Gentile churches who were still pretty rich, because Gentiles were only persecuted from AD 64 onwards, when Caesar burnt Rome. When they became believers in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and churches were born, and those churches were primarily, the majority of them were Gentile believers, they would be pretty rich because they did not suffer persecution until after AD 64. They could still keep their jobs. They can still hold on to their bank account. They can still keep their property and work the land if they were farmers and shepherds. And so their normal day-to-day life was not disrupted. But to the Jews, they suffered want. They had been persecuted since Pentecost, if you recall. And the Sanhedrin Council have no jurisdiction over Gentile believers, only Jewish believers. And so they were, the Bible said here, little in strength. Spiritually, they were holding on. Right? That's what the Lord says. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. And because of that, you suffered physical loss. That's a commendation. They know the word that they were keeping. It is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they held on, even at the expense of these material loss. They held on. Will you keep the patient word if it costs you? Would you? Because anybody can say, I want to be a Christian, I can obey the Word of God in an environment of peace and freedom. When you obey, nobody would hurt you, nobody would harm you, nobody will do anything to stop you. Who can't? Because there is no cost to consider, is there? But whenever there is a cost to consider, will you still stand up and be holy for Jesus' sake? In your school and in your place of work and in your home, if you have unbelieving parents, standing up in obedience to the Word of God, that cost you. Would you do it? Because you must know whose word you are keeping. Is it precious enough for you? Precious enough compared to your job? That by keeping the word, you may lose your job. But then the Lord says, if I open the door for you to be in that company, no man can shut it. That means no man can kick you out. Right? That's why it is so encouraging. You know this is the Lord. This is the Lord's word. This is the Lord's work that you are doing. So will your job, which is how you pay your mortgage and all your bills, be more important to you? That you would rather keep your job, keep an eye on your job and not lose it, or you will keep your obedience to the patient word of God and not lose it by disobeying it? Your choice. Not just for last month, not just for this month, but for the rest of your working life. You must pass the test. And every time your life will change, you know that. As you age, you may have more financial burdens and responsibility through the course of your life. And therefore, the pressure of having more money, wanting more money, getting the promotion to have a higher pay, all these are very real. And you will have to choose. Keep that job, want that promotion, have the bigger bonus to pay for all your bills, or to keep the patient word and perhaps lose the job. You want to trust in your God who told you, who reminded you how He introduced Himself. I open doors and I shut doors. Not your boss. You trust Him? If you do, then you have no problem making your choice. Very easy. Of course, I will keep the patient word. And if I have to lose my job, I will lose my job. If the Lord wants to shut my place in this company, that means remove me. I don't want to bang down the door and worm myself inside. What He shuts, I will not want to open. That's why He introduced Himself in this manner, to encourage them, because they have been holding on and they have little strength. Who wants to be in that kind of church, isn't it? You want to be in this church? You're going to be prepared to lose all these things. Are you prepared? Children, you go to school. Are you a believer? Will you keep the patient word? If your friends laugh at you, mock at you, and your teachers pick on you because of your Christian faith, they teach you signs, you speak up. They teach that this dinosaur, this earth is billions and millions of years old. You know it's not true. Are you going to keep quiet? Because if you speak up, and they cannot stop you from speaking up, teachers cannot talk about Christianity in a secular school. But students can. You're a student. Will you or will you keep quiet? Will you keep the patient word or keep your mouth closed and escape what you think may be persecution? The teacher will pick on you, and then even though you try to do your homework the best way you know how, and if they are against me, there is no way I can get my A's, there is no way I can get number one in class, because there are certain subjects that are very subjective, isn't it? Like comprehension. I mean, you still have comprehension, I believe. Mathematics is a little clearer, right? 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 times 2 equals 4. That is very straightforward. They cannot fault you. But English, essay, literature is subjective. It's up to the teacher, isn't it? He reads, he gave you a mark, either up or down, low or high. It's up to him, because it's up to the teacher.
likes your writing, don't like your writing, but he doesn't like you.
So you have all these ideas that may frighten you, make you very nervous and scared. It's normal. Parents are scared too, children. We all are scared, one way or another. And that's what the Lord says. Let me be your confidence. Let your mind know and your heart know. Whose word are you keeping? The Lord's word. Who is the Lord? The one who opened doors and shut doors. That's the Lord. Will you want to keep his word? Is it precious to you? Is he precious to you? Or your studies, or your position as number one in school, in class, more precious to you? Then keep quiet. Don't let people know you're a Christian. Be an invisible Christian or be a silent Christian. Be ashamed of Christ. You think there is such a disciple in the Bible? The Lord says, if you deny me, I will deny you. There are always people who will try to stop you. That is very, very much the way of every witness throughout every age in the devil's world. It will not change until the Lord returns in the clouds of glory. You know that. That's why the Lord says, will you keep the patient word? Know whose word you are keeping. Know who therefore will be helping you. You've got to make a choice when the time comes. Right now, in your own heart, it's still just a conviction. But the conviction will be tested. How strong and how deep that conviction is that you have in your mind and in your heart, that you are prepared to say to the Lord, Lord, I will keep thy word no matter what. You sure? Be careful. Remember what what Peter said to the Lord. If all the 11 disciples will desert you, I will never desert you. You will deny me 3 times before the Lord crows. So now it's just a conviction. And I hope your conviction is true to the Lord. Yes, I will keep the patient word no matter what. The Lord heard it, even though you said it only in the inner man. Time and time again, the Lord knows, right? Abraham's wife Sarah laughed when the Lord said, next time, same time next year, your wife will have a child. She laughed within. The Lord heard. So if you have a silent conviction in your heart, yes, Lord, I want to keep the patient word all the days of my life. The Lord heard it. When the tests will become a reality, you trust the Lord. The Lord knows. When he will send the test, and when the test comes, you're going to know it too. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what you have just promised the Lord this afternoon. On this particular day, 6th of April. Will you keep my patient word? Jesus says to you. Not the now, my patient. Because you know whose word you are keeping. And then the Lord now will tell you, if you are able to persevere and hold on, I want you to know this. Verse 9 and verse 10, the goal in keeping. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. So who are the people who are going to make their life very challenging? Jews, fellow Jews. So you have the church in Philadelphia, probably mainly Jews, a lot of them. That's why they have little strength. Very few people join. Very few have jobs and money because they probably have to lose it. And now you have people who are Jews who call themselves people of God, maybe even Christians. And then the Lord says, they are not. It is the synagogue of the devil. But they say they are Jews. They say they are God's people. And are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What does that mean? That means you keep the patient word of God and hold on to the faith. And when these Jews who think that they are believers and they try to persecute you and make your life difficult, you hold on. And by your holding on and by your perseverance of the word of my patience, God says, the patient word of God, you continue to be kind to them. You continue to do good to them, even though they may hurt you and persecute you in the church. and by your kindness and your goodness and your prayers to the Lord for them, they might even become believers. That's what it means, that I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. That means together with you in the church, and to know that I have loved thee. Loved you, right? That's the goal, isn't it? To persevere on. That means to be like Christ. But they're going to take advantage of me. Did we not take advantage of Christ because of our sin? He was the perfect Lamb of God who took your place and suffered and died in your place. Now that you are convicted and you promise the Lord with His help to keep the patient word of God all the days of your life, what do you think will be the outcome? They're going to see Christ in your life. And when they see Christ in your life, and you keep on doing kindness toward them when they persecute you, you keep on praying for them when they despitefully use you, you keep on helping them when they are in trouble, even though they try to hurt you and harm you, what do you think will this kindness and goodness and your prayers before God will do for them? The Lord says, I will make them to come. I will make sure that they become believers. Because these people know that they are persecuting Jewish Christians, and they are prepared to suffer loss. And these Christians, or these Jews, I mean, who persecute the Jewish Christians, they will be convicted. Who are these people? Why is it that the more we persecute them, the more they do good to us, the more they show compassion toward us? What kind of people are them? They must have something that is so real to them that they are prepared to lose everything, including their freedom and their lives. This Jesus must be someone special. Maybe I should give Jesus a try and listen to what they say. That's what Jesus meant, isn't it? I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. To be with you in worship, together, praising the Lord. Isn't that why you must keep the patient word? Because the people who are persecuting you, they do not know what they are doing. Really, they do not know what they are doing. They do not know that when the gospel is shared with them, it is Jesus Christ who is now offering them salvation, telling them that I came down from heaven to live and to suffer and to die for you, so that you do not need to die for your own sin. Your God, whom you sin against, sent me from heaven to come and take your place and bear the brunt of the persecution that you deserve for the sins you've committed against Him. I took it on my body. The death that you are supposed to die because of your sins that you committed against Him, I died in your place. Do you want me to suffer and to die in your place or not? So that you do not have to die and suffer for your own sin, which will mean you will be cast into hell and it will be a place of great unending torment. I don't want to see you there, God the Father says. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ offering Himself to you. The first time you share the gospel, they might hate you and despise you. They will persecute you. And by your holy life, by keeping the patient word, you continue to obey the word of God. And you know what the word of God teaches, right? Concerning those who persecute you for the faith. Jesus made that abundantly clear in the Sermon on the Mount. Right? They slap you, turn the other cheek. They use you, make use of you. You pray for them. Because that is the life of the Savior that they need to see. And then the Lord says, I will use you to bring salvation to them. And when the person comes to church and kneel down together with you in praise and in worship, and know how much the Lord loves you, and this person who once upon a time in the past hurt you, mock you, laugh at you, make fun of the gospel, and now side by side with you, praising, thanking the Lord for salvation, grace and mercies. Do you want this goal, this purpose in your life? This is the outcome. This is the purpose. This is the goal. This is the aim, isn't it? For keeping the patient word against these persecutors. They try to stop you. They try to hurt you. And all you do is keep telling them about Christ. Keep doing kindness to them. The result, the Lord says, that because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Do you not want this outcome? Do you not want your life to have this kind of spiritual blessing to the people that God brings into your life? I'm sure you have a heart that is like the Lord Jesus Christ, where you do not want to see anyone cast into hell. And someone hurt you, or someone who is blind to the truth, I'm sure you will pray to the Lord, Lord, please do not let the devil win and drag this person into hell. Lord, please be merciful and open this person's eye, who had been rejecting the gospel for so long, who has been turning his back on you. Please, Lord, may thou be merciful. And the Lord will say to you in turn, I will use you. And I will use you, but only if you are able to keep my patient word. Then no matter how the person will try to hurt you or harm you, so that you will disobey my word, you must not let him succeed. You must keep on obeying the word of everlasting life, regardless of how they will treat you initially. But there will come a point in time that the more they persecute you, the more they hurt you, the more they try their best to slander you and kill you with their words, the more you show love, kindness and compassion, the clearer the image of Jesus Christ would be. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did on your behalf on the cross. And now I want to use you to let them see Christ, what he suffered and endured on the cross by your suffering and your patience and your endurance in obeying my word. Isn't that how they are supposed to see Christ in us? What part of Christ? The suffering Messiah. And then they will also become believers. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. You see, I will keep you, I will protect you, so that when the temptation comes, I've enough, Lord, I want to give up, I don't want to show kindness anymore. The person persecuted me and it's so painful, I don't want to do it anymore. The Lord will convict you and say, no, you have to hold on, you have to hold on. You cannot, after you have endured so much pain and suffering, you have been obeying for such a long time, don't give up. Don't stop obeying my word, keep on. Keep on doing it, because in my time, I will make them to come and worship together with you at your feet, and to let them know how much I love you by allowing you to endure all the pain and the shame in suffering for Jesus' sake, just as Jesus Christ suffered for your sake so that you and I could be saved. And now God gave you the honor and the privilege of suffering for Jesus' sake so that unbelievers will see Christ by your suffering for Jesus' sake. And you've got to hold on. I will keep you, but you have to keep the patient word. I will give you the inner strength to endure to the very end, which shall come upon all the world to try them and to dwell upon the earth. In other words, there will be the great tribulation that will come, and I'm going to protect you from this. In other words, it's the rapture, because at the end of chapter 3, the word church will never appear again. Because when rapture takes place, the only church that remains will be the harlot church that will be mentioned in subsequent chapters. That will become the religious organization of the great Antichrist, the one world ecumenical movement of our time. That every truly born again believer, the sheep, will be caught up. And there will only be goats in every congregation, in every church all over the world. And that's why the word church will never be mentioned again. The Lord will keep you. You've got to hold on. Because once you are born again, the Lord makes sure that you have the strength to hold on to the very end. Don't ever be wayward. Don't ever stop obeying the word of God, no matter how the temptation may keep persecuting you, keep hurting you, keep harming you. You've got to hold on to the end. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, no matter how long it takes, you must never ever stop obeying the patient word of God. Will you do that? Know the word that you are keeping. It is the word of the Savior, the powerful word of God. Know the purpose, the goal, the aim of your keeping, that those who persecute you may become believers themselves. And the more you hold on to your obedience to the word of God, the clearer the image of Jesus Christ will be seen by them, especially the ones who persecute you. They will ask themselves, it's only a matter of time, why do they still show kindness and goodness toward me when I do the opposite? I kept hurting them, I kept slandering them, I kept destroying them, and they kept loving me, helping me, showing kindness toward me. What kind of people are they? And then the Lord will see what you are going through. It's no accident that the Lord brought you, placed you in that place, in that school, in that company, in this church, where you face these people who are hurting you for the faith. The Lord wants to use you to be the instrument to bring salvation to them, because your witness, your testimony, your gospel already impacting them. It's the people who are indifferent that you should be very worried for. Those who are persecuting you, that means the word of God and your holy testimony is really convicting their heart. That's why they are reacting in this manner. And the more they react, the more the gospel is convicting them. And the more kindness you show, the greater will be the conviction. And soon, the conviction will result in salvation. That's what the Lord says, right? I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. And salvation is of the Lord. And these people, I'm sure they are not strangers to you. For them to have this kind of continuous impact, right? To persecute you, they have to do it all the time. And your kindness toward them will continue to remain. So they are not strangers. You look at them. Do you not want to see them out of hell and into heaven? You and I must have that kind of heart, like that of our Savior. Christ doesn't want to see anyone end up in hell. That's why He came. The Bible says God the Father doesn't desire to cast anyone into hell. That's why He sent Jesus Christ. And we must have the same kind of heart, same kind of eyes. When you see people who hate you, despitefully use you, you must love them more. You must show kindness to them even more. And then the blessing in keeping God's patient word. Verse 11 to verse 13. Know the word you are keeping, the aim or the goal in keeping. Now the blessing in keeping. Behold, I come quickly. Right, so you might think that, well, because it's been so long, the Lord said, I will come quickly. Don't worry. To you it may be long, but that's what you need the most, to understand the meaning of the word patient, to know why it is called the patient word that you have to obey, not just for today, not just for a year. It's the word of God that you have to obey for the rest of your life. And the longer you remain on earth, the longer will your patience be stretched. And every time when it is stretched, you have to keep passing the test. Keep on holding, keep on holding. The moment you stumble and fall, you're going to repent immediately so that you can return back to the patient word in keeping it. Okay, don't forget that. So I will come quickly, don't worry. So hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Right? The person who can hold on to obeying God's word to the very end, you know this is the clearest evidence of a person who is truly born again. So So please be very mindful and careful. Do not think that experiencing waywardness is normal. It is not. Experiencing the perseverance and the patience of keeping God's word all your life, that is the common experience of every truly born-again believer. You do not want to take the risk. Oh, I will obey God's word when I'm single, even when I'm married. But maybe, Lord, when I have children, I may not want to obey God's word. Don't you ever, ever dare to have that kind of nonsensical reasoning. It may be found in the world out there, but don't you dare believe in this kind of lies and deception. You must hold on to the word of God for how long? For the rest of your life. It has to be lived in obedience to the word of God, and the Lord assured you, guarantee, no man will take that crown away from you, the crown of life. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. That means you're going to dwell in the temple of God, in the home of God. Where is the temple of God? Do you know where that is? And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. This temple of my God and the New Jerusalem. Where is this? What is this? We know that in the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21, there will be no temple. The Bible made it clear. What is a temple? The temple is basically the dwelling place of God on earth. It is a place of holiness. Right? These are the two characteristics of the meaning of a temple used in the Bible to describe the tabernacle, which is a temporary temple. And then you have the building constructed by Solomon. Then you have a permanent structure called the temple. But the meaning remains constant. It is a holy place. It is the dwelling place of God on earth. They never had the need for a temple during the book of Genesis, when the witnesses were by godly families sprinkled all over the world. There is no need for a physical temple during the church witness, because the Bible says, all of you believers, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So your life, your body is the walking, dwelling place of God. That's how the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and it is holy, right? That's the meaning of a temple. But in the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21, you need no temple, because the Bible says God the Father and the Son, they are the temple thereof. Because temple means a dwelling place. Where is the dwelling place of God? The new heaven and new earth, the whole creation. New heaven and new earth is the temple. It's a dwelling place of God, right? That's a dwelling place. That's why you do not need to have a physical temple. You only have a physical temple when everything outside of the temple is the Gentile world. Right? It has to be a gathering of people. That's why it's interesting to study the significance of the temple. Especially when you study Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. You have the millennial temple and the New Jerusalem there. So is this a reference to that millennial kingdom? Or is it a reference to the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21? The name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And so this is a description of the believer. And I believe this is a reference to Revelation 21. Because Revelation 21 verse 2 says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See that? So this is not a reference to the millennial. This is a reference to the final new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21. The millennial kingdom, at the end of it, the whole world will vanish away. Everything will be destroyed, including the millennial temple and the New Jerusalem of the millennial kingdom. But the new heaven and new earth, it's forever. And so the temple, when the Lord says here, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. That means you're going to be in the new heaven and new earth. That's what it means. Not that you're going to be a pillar of God. It's a figure of speech. That means you will be in the presence of God in the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21 forever. That will be your final and eternal home. While you witness and serve the Lord on this earth, keeping the patient word of God in the face of all those who persecute you, because your goal and your desire is in the face of these persecutors, you want them to be saved, just as Jesus Christ himself, when he walked on earth, all those priests and scribes and Pharisees who tried to trip him, find fault with him, all he cared about is for their salvation. Do you know that? You study all those passages that talks about the Pharisees coming, the Sadducees coming, the priests coming, the scribes coming to snare him, to trap him, to get him into trouble with the Roman law so that they will crucify him. Time and time again, he will answer all their problems and then at the same time, hoping to save them, that they will not reject him as the Son of God. That was the heart of Christ when he walked on earth, and that must be our heart today. And the Lord promised you, if you keep the word of God as the clearest evidence of your salvation to the very end of your life, your home in heaven is guaranteed and secured. You will be like a pillar, permanent structure. In other words, in the temple, where's the temple? There's no temple. God the Father, God the Son is the temple thereof. You find that in Revelation chapter 21 too. You can see that. The Lord tells us that. Okay, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Because the whole place, the new heaven and new earth, is the dwelling place of God. And only holy people can dwell in that holy atmosphere forever and ever. And that's what it means here in Revelation 3, verse 12. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So will you keep the patient word regardless? Bear in mind whose word you are keeping, because you will only keep your eye on that which you consider as precious. Is the word of God precious to you? Is Christ precious to you? Don't ever lose your love for your Savior by loving someone or something else on earth. And the purpose and your goal for keeping and persevere on, no matter how they may ill-treat you and persecute you, is for the persecutor's salvation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did it for our salvation. And now he gave you the honor and the privilege, and you must count it an honor that he now counts you worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake, so that this persecutor may also come to know Christ. And the blessing at the end is to be found in the new heaven and new earth, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who suffered and died in your place, and to be with God the Father forever. That's the blessing that will come when you keep the patient word. Do you want to keep the patient word? All God's children must keep the patient word, because the Holy Spirit is the one who will help you. Without him, you can't. No one can. But with him, all believers can. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help all of us to realize and understand that keeping the patient word of everlasting life is the clear evidence of one who is truly born again in Christ. For it is through the help and the power of the Holy Spirit that all your children will find the inner strength to hold on in obedience to the patient word of everlasting life, even in the face of persecution, where we will suffer the loss of jobs, friends, loved ones, family members, freedom, and even our lives. And it will be worth it all to suffer for Jesus' sake, for he gave everything to suffer and to die for us. And the least we can do as unprofitable servant is to suffer and live and die for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by keeping his patient word, so that even the persecutors will see Christ in us and come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, thus bringing glory to thy holy name. And the blessing in keeping God's word is to be found in heaven, the New Jerusalem, our eternal home. May this encourage and strengthen the hearts of every child of God, from the youngest to the oldest, to persevere on in keeping the patient word in these last days to the very end of our lives, until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.